Chapter 25, the characteristic of King Puranjana, text 55. Sayarhyanta puragato Vishuchina samanvita Moham prasadam harshamba Yati jayatma jodhavam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Purport. According to the Vedic conclusion, oneself is situated within the heart. As stated in Vedic language, Hridyayam Atma Pratishtita, the self is situated within the heart. In the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by the material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these three qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, he feels happiness. When one is in passion, he feels satisfaction through material enjoyment. And one is in darkness, he feels bewilderment. All these activities are of the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, he acts on the mental plane. Sometimes he is very happy, sometimes he is very much satisfied, sometimes he is not satisfied, and sometimes he is bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha, illusion. Illusion by society, friendship and love. The living entity thinks that his so-called society, friendship and love, nationality, community, etc. will give him protection. He does not know that after death he will be thrown into the hands of a very strong material nature that will force him to accept a certain type of body according to his present work. This body may not be even a human body. Thus, the living entity's feeling of security in his life in the midst of society, wife, and friendship is nothing but illusion. All living entities encaged in various material bodies are illusioned by the present activities of material enjoyment. They forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be an illusion. One's so-called feeling of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusions. Factually, neither society, friendship, love, nor anything else can save one from the onslaught of the external energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of the illusory condition is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who are surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. Sayarhyanta puragatu vishuchina samanvita moham prasadam harshamba yati jayatma jayatma jodbhavam. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Jnananjanasala ke chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangam langayati grim yat kripada daham munde shri gurum jinatharinam. I'll try. So when the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, he acts on the mental plane. Sometimes he is very happy, sometimes he is very much satisfied, sometimes he is not satisfied, and sometimes he is bewildered. So, who said that the Bhagavatam description of family life is bleak? Here the worst one can get is just to be bewildered. Otherwise, very happy or much satisfied. Well, sometimes maybe not satisfied, but the worst is bewildered. Or we say, wait till the end of the story and then we'll see. There are more to come in the next chapter. Anyway, here the verse describes how the intelligence representing the wife of the soul, Puranjana, enjoys in private with his chief servants, the mind and the senses. And three things are produced: satisfaction, happiness coming from this close family circle, the wife and children, and illusion also. Moham, prasadam, harsham. So, obviously, there is happiness in associating with family members and satisfaction, and these are clearly, as Prabhupada describes here, result of material association and material happiness, and also illusion. So these are products of the association of the material coverings of the soul with the material modes of nature. So when the material mode of goodness is predominant, one is feeling happiness, and material satisfaction from enjoyment is coming through the mode of passion, and bewilderment and moha is coming through the mode of material ignorance or darkness. So these three modes are, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, within the heart together with the soul. So they act constantly there, and they bewilder the soul, thinking that this prasada and harsha, this happiness and satisfaction, can be attained through material association. But as we hear, it is all illusion. You know, this so-called feeling of security and satisfaction in the midst of society, wife and friendship, is nothing but illusion. Why? Because, as Prabhupada here says, this is explained in the second canto, that we are just thinking that we will get some security in this way, and that is not the fact. We'll rely on, as Bhagavatam describes, on fallible soldiers, his wife, children, friends, and society are called fallible soldiers. We just think that they'll be there all the time and they'll protect us, just as we try to protect them during our life. When I was traveling in India from Calcutta, from Mayapur to Puri, there was one Brahmana gentleman. This was in the train from Navadvip to Calcutta. So he visited Mayapur with his family, with his wife and her relatives. So he was coming back, and he was middle-aged already. He told me his daughter was grown up. But he And he, it seemed that he had everything, you know, in life. He was well established. He was born in a Brahmana family, and he had a nice wife, it seemed, and you know, coming from a cultural background in Bengal. But he looked very unhappy, and through our conversation, he was telling how much this life is bringing him unhappiness, that it's all illusion, and it just seems that there is love and affection, but through the years he understood that this is just illusion, and he cannot get real happiness. So he was hoping to be more involved with the devotees and do something and do more service and practice Krishna consciousness. He was very attracted, but there was not so much cooperation from his family. So said, this is very unfortunate. Although coming from this background, we cannot even practice as we like. So this is illustration. Even one is so-called family, well situated in a family, it's still, there is no guarantee. Rather, if one is materialistic, then definitely there will be difficulties, even if one wants to advance in spiritual life. So this notion of society, friendship and love, I think Prabhupada got it from one famous poem of English poet. I forgot his name, but he started when he was in college. He understood that this was like the most cherished thing, you know, society, friendship and love. So we see in different spiritual communities there's either complete rejection of this, or we see that there's that's the center of everything. So yogis, gyanis, Buddhists, and all kinds of other people who try to escape this through renunciation, they understand that yes, this is illusion. Society, friendship, and love only brings suffering ultimately. Even if you are so-called satisfied and happy, at the end you'll be bewildered, it will be taken away from you, and then you'll suffer more. So they say, let's just get rid of it, and you know, they ditch it, and they say this is the worst thing we can think of. It's so, therefore we should escape as far as possible. Others, they think, well, this is actually the only real thing in life, so go into it, immersed as fully as possible. And although understanding that this is not permanent, like some Christian denominations, they kind of set it up in a permanent future. They say, well, you live happily with your family now, and then you continue eternally to live with the same family in heaven. But the center is just society, friendship and love, permanently, with your family. This is the perfection. And the thing is, where is God in the equation? In both cases, He is not there. It's us who are in the center. Either in the center, you know, trying to get rid of the material illusion, or in the center of the material illusion and trying to perpetuate it nicely so that it doesn't disappear. But so far, you know, as far as I've seen, nowhere else but Vaishnavas, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they put right in the center God, right in the center of the society, friendship and love. And we say that that's actually the real society, friendship and love, where God is there in the center. In Goloka Vrindavan, we have everything. We have society, we have economics, we have politics, we have everything you can imagine which is functioning here. But there it's all about Krishna. Everything is centered around him. But here is centered around, you know, someone's personal agenda. And of course there is friendship there and love, the real love. As Prabhupada in one lecture said, if you want to have, we are all looking for permanent happiness in family. We want to have good children who are very loyal, very obedient. When they grow up, they continue to love us and to help us and support us. But many times we are frustrated. We don't receive what we hoped for. So he said, if you don't want to be frustrated, choose Krishna as your child. In friendship, yeah, we hope we have really good friends who are ready to do anything for us at, in any situation. But many times when the times are difficult, our friends become not so much inclined to help us. And Prabhupada said, if you want a perfect friend, then choose Krishna as your friend. And if you want to have a perfect husband or a perfect lover, you choose Krishna. And he said, he will never put you down. He will never put you down. You will never be frustrated in this relationship. So, of course, we see that in the course of the pastimes, sometimes it seems that he puts down, sees devotees and leaves them, but that's just to increase the rasa and the attraction for him. But otherwise, it's clear that if Krishna is in the center of society, friendship and love, in the spiritual society and spiritual family, that's the perfection, that's what we want to attain. But even while we're here, we can put Krishna in the center of our material society, friendship and love, and that also goes well. That's the way to escape from the modes of material nature, from their influence. And that's not so difficult. Why we shouldn't take up this process? If we say, well, you can have a perfect society of friendship and love here, and after that attain the real spiritual family and love, why not? You know, you have the best bargain from both sides. You don't need to get rid of anything. What is the problem? Why we shouldn't take it? And especially if the price you have to pay is just to chant the names of God. That's the boon of Lord Chaitanya. So why we don't take this? Why we shouldn't take it? What is the difficulty? As Prabhupada said, anyone can guess why we don't take it, or why people don't take it so easily. Or even if we take it, we find ourselves a difficult situation sometimes trying to follow this simple process. No ideas. Prabhupada asked once, actually, during the conversation, the devotees, and they were coming with different explanations. Well, we are attached, we're in illusion, and different things. And Prabhupada said, because we don't want. That's why. It's all about desire. We kind of very much stuck with our selfish desires, and even understanding that it is better for us to come back to Krishna, it's still very difficult to change this desire from selfishness to selfless service. But that's the goal, and it's attainable if we practice the process with sincerity and determination. Anything we do, even in material activity, with the focus and determination, there will be result. So that's the way also to advance in spiritual life, to focus on the goal and then to practice Krishna consciousness with determination, and it will gradually transform this longing for material happiness and satisfaction to spiritual happiness, which comes from the happiness of Krishna. And then we'll realize that when Krishna is happy, then we are also automatically happy, and Krishna can be made happy very easily. Again, we just need to hear about him, remember him, chant his glories, serve him. And then, even if we are conditioned in the present state and we are amidst material surroundings which which might bring illusion, well, the verse says here, even in this situation we can have a spiritual vision. If again Krishna is in the center of our society, friendship and love, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one song, the home in which I see the deity of Krishna being worshipped, I see it as no different from Goloka. Therefore Prabhupada always advise those who have their families and live outside of temples, they should have their deity of Krishna installed and worship, and then their home become transformed. If the activities are centered around the deity worship. And one other point is that all these activities are of the mind, the function, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling and willing. So different yoga processes use these different parts, either through thinking, you know, they stress that feeling or willing, different aspects of the activity of the mind. So the jnana and the yoga through thinking, reasoning and trying to renounce everything by the power of your mind and developing knowledge, or by the power of renunciation, power of the will. But bhakti is through feeling. That's the most strong of all, that pulls the others actually. Whatever your feeling is there, your thoughts and your actions will be actually. Because you may be thinking that you're controlling yourself and you're reasoning faculties, but if your feelings go uncontrolled, then that's very difficult. Therefore, we see the examples in Shastras of powerful yogis who fall victim to their attraction, their feelings. But with bhakti, we go right directly to the process of feeling, and that pulls our thinking and willing together. So that feeling of taste for serving Krishna, gradually this ruchi transforms into a sakti, which is attachment, and then more attachment, and then love of Krishna. And then the feeling is so permanently tied with Krishna that we cannot even stop thinking about him, because we have a feeling for him, we have a feeling of love, and then everything else is automatically it automatically follows. Our minds are there with him, our actions are there. We don't need to do something external to be able to control the influences of material, the modes of material nature. So again, it's the process of bhakti, this feeling, it's already there, as Rupa Goswami says in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nityasya Bhavasya. It's the process of sadhana bhakti is the one which bring us to the awakening of the eternal bhava, eternal feelings which we have for Krishna already. So that's awakened through the gradual process of sadhana bhakti. Hare Krishna, thank you for your attention. Are there any comments, questions? Yes. Was the question? The point was, well, Prabhupada mentions that what is the difficulty? The process is very easy. why don't we take it? But also he mentions in Bhagavad Gita in the purport that actually it's not so difficult. It is difficult. It's not so easy. So that's the question, why these two things are there. Yeah, he says people criticize or other other spiritualists, they say, well, this bhakti is just so easy. And he says, if it's so easy, why don't you take it? But it's not so easy. I think, you know, that's what I said. It's not so easy to give up our selfish desires. The process is very easy. That's what it is. It's so natural and perfect. You know, to do it is nothing difficult, Prabhupada says. Even a child can do it, even a dog can do it. I mean, there are examples of many dogs. I don't know why he says dog, but I mean, in ISKCON there are many dogs who are examples of that. I've seen one in last year in the Vrajamandala Parikram. One dog joined us and followed us at least for, every day we walk about from 15 to 20 kilometers. And it was going with the parikrama, walking 20 kilometers every day, and it stayed for a week, crossing, you know, a river or whatever, you know, just was walking right after Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada, Gornitai, and the dog after that. And sometimes, you know, his senses were too strong, so he goes somewhere in the road, the side, and then immediately realizes, oh, already Prabhupada is far ahead. So he goes back, you know. Just doesn't go any place because Parikrama is the 1 kilometer, just in front. And it was a she-dog, and that there was a friend, she found a boyfriend. And he also joined. She dragged him, you come with me, you know, if you want to be around, you come with Parikrama. So anyway, this is a dog can follow. And I heard when I was in Mayapur that there was one dog last year who was going to listen in the Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj's place in the Gurukula. Yeah, you know, going in the midst of the devotees and sitting down and listening the lecture, just sits down. Yeah, and they just didn't do anything one day, and they thought, you know, he'll not be interested anymore, but he started coming regularly for classes. And sometimes in the morning especially, it's packed, there's no place. And then one friend of mine was telling me how, you know, he was trying to squeeze in between, you know, and he said, and then he came to me just and sat to me, next to me, you know, and listened very patiently, but they had to chase him because it's like a moving bag of fleas. Fleas, full of fleas. You know, these small bugs, you know, they really bite you nasty. So, but, you know, yeah, even dog can follow. But the difficulty is that when we just don't do it, and then we have a complicated mind, and we have selfish desires, so we don't accept it. And that's the problem. We don't want it. Yeah, that's what Prabhupada answered in the question, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is we don't want it. Then it's difficult. if you don't want it. We understand that's the best thing can do, but then still we have attachment and other motivation, so we don't do it because we don't want. Because we don't want. The question is how we practically accept Krishna as either husband or a friend or a child, like the point Prabhupada mentioned. Well, at least, you know, there is this advice in Nectar of Devotion, then you should accept Krishna as your close friend. And then you can relate to him as very close friend and reveal your mind. That's the point of it. You should reveal your mind to the deity as your close friend. So that's not so difficult to do, like, Krishna, you're my friend. But of course you can say also in general, this general prayer, like Bhaktivinoda Thakura says in Manasa Deho Geho, he says, Janaka Janani Daitya Tanaya. So you are my husband, you're my Janaka, the father? Anyway, Janaka Janani, Daitya, you're my Tanaya, you're my lover, and Prabhu Guru Pati, you're my Prabhu, you're my master, you're my Guru Pati, you're my husband. So Prabhu Guru Pati Sarva Tuhuma, you're everything for me. So it just you kind of approach Krishna like you're everything for me in general way. But then you don't need to artificially kind of choose a particular relationship. That relationship is already there. Like I quoted this verse, this Nitya Bhava is there. Prabhupada says that in a purport in this verse from 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna mentions that, and Prabhupada says that they are, the relationship of the soul and Krishna is eternally fixed. So in the case with Arjuna, that's friendship. But that comes clear when the mind is clean. When, like Lord Chaitanya says, Chetu Darpana Marjanam, through the process of Sankirtan, you clean the mirror of your heart and then you see yourself. And then it's very clear. You know who you are. You know what Krishna is to you exactly. You don't need to ask anybody else. Then you will have that particular attraction. But if that's not so clear, then, you know, you accept Krishna as, as this advice, either as like Bhaktivinoda Thakura approaches, you're everything to me, or at least you revealed your mind in friendship, like that. Yes? By us. Yeah, okay, the question is, well, this relationship cannot be forgotten, but it seems in the conditioned state we forget this relationship. Well, yeah, it cannot be forgotten in a sense you cannot delete it. It's always there, right? You It's just a question of temporarily covering that feeling, being covered in the conditioned state, that then it's forgotten, but it's not permanently forgotten. That's what it means. Yeah, amnesia. Yeah, exactly. You just temporarily forget who you are. But actually, you cannot forget. You know, after you, after some process. Usually, it's a gradual process. Hanumat Preshik Maharaj once described how, you know, after amnesia, you get used to your, you know, you cannot just, somebody comes and tells you, you are such and such, and brings somebody who you forgot, you know, says, this is your wife. And then you are, no, first, you know, the doctor cools you down, cool down, you know, wait, everything is fine, you are fine. Where I am, who am I, you know, I don't know. No problem, you're okay. You're just here now. And then they bring you different things to remind you little by little. They give you something, whatever, you know, your purse or something, and then you look inside and then you see tickets for a theater. Oh, yeah, I had tickets. With whom? What is a theater? Then they bring you a cloth. Oh, I remember your cloth. And then gradually you remember different things and you can relate to. So that's, he was comparing, that's how it happened, you know. You don't suddenly, gradually things come into the view, and then you remember gradually, and then you understand, oh, okay. Well, that's what Prabhupada said in one lecture. You practice very nicely the process, and then one day you know, ah, that's how Prabhupada said it, ah, that's my relationship with Krishna. So you remember naturally, that's the thing. But you cannot forget it, really, whatever, how, no matter how illusion you are, your that relationship is still there. There was someone? Or, no, sorry, I didn't.
I was thinking, does it affect yourself in the
Yes, bro. The position of, sorry. Yeah, but there's no problem using your mind and thoughts in the right direction. That's why we have so much philosophy there. Prabhupada says in Purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita actually that bhakti should be founded on a deep philosophical conclusion, otherwise it's very unsteady and sentimental. So you come to these conclusions by reasoning. So yes, we're different from the animals, and then you have to use your thinking capabilities to also come to the same conclusion. So this listening, hearing and thinking is goes together. It's not that you just have to listen and shut up your mind and like, okay, it's dangerous to think, but just have to think in the right direction according to the Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. Anything else? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.